afternoon on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast and in Canada. Our guest is from Canada today, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the Talent and Organizational Development Department at GTE Financial in beautiful downtown Chile, Tampa, Florida. The GTE folks have just been amazing, and a less long walk, and it's still a very short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Charleston, South Carolina. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, man? You know, because I've been thinking about global warming lately.
Have you?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We make an announcement about global warming, and the next thing we talk about is the North Polar Vortex or something. You know, so
polar vortex.
Oh my gosh, it's like the perfect it's like the perfect recipe for a movie.
Absolutely. Wherever you are, I'm not sure what the weather is like. It is a lot cooler here in Tampa than I thought it would be. But I'm here because tomorrow, in fact, they're setting up the tent out in the parking lot right now. Tomorrow, GTE Financial is going to give away a year's worth of mortgage payments to a lucky member and a lucky employee, and I get to MC that event, so I'm super looking forward to that. Got to start by saying the name of the show. The name of the show is The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Q's has left their audiences wanting more for a long time. We're going to talk to Chuck Fagan from Q's. He's the CEO of Q's. And of course, for the past several years, we have been fortunate enough to have the winner of the next top credit union executive right here live on our show. And that trend continues. We're going to go out to the great white north of Canada, up to British Columbia, if I'm not mistaken, and talk to Alex Castley, the winner from Integris Credit Union. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, I've got to start by thanking our sponsor, GoMarquis.com, GoMarquis.com. Just go, Marquis.com, and you'll find out everything you need to know about this amazing family-owned company. Troy, we'd say all the time, the key signature on our show is generational stuff. We've highlighted the Q's next top CEO exec for several years, back to when Tina first won, and I know you love talking to young, inspired leaders in the credit union marketplace.
I do, and we had an opportunity just last evening to bring a group of folks together with their Carolinas CEO Aware program, which is dedicated to providing leadership opportunities for young folks 35 and under, and also to individuals who are new to the credit union movement, and also an opportunity for seasoned veterans to participate in a mentoring program that creates a very holistic approach to leadership from the person who is just coming into the door to somebody who is going to be soon exiting the door. So it's really a great program. We had a planning session here at in Charleston. It was just awesome.
I saw a lot of people, and I think I saw that picture while I was sitting in the airport in Houston eating some very overpriced and not so great Chinese food. Don't make that
mistake. We did a selfie. You have to do a selfie everywhere you go.
Yes, you do. Hey, folks, when we get back from the break, and by the way, folks, if you want to know how to put together a beautifully elegant, functional website that just pops on the iPad, go check out Q's.org. When we get back, we're going to talk to the head honcho over there. His name is Chuck Fagan, and we'll join him right after this. Is right. His name is Chuck Fagan. He's joining us from his office today. Hey, Chuck, how are you, sir?
Jason, Troy, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me on, as well as thank you for recognizing the importance of a program like Next Top Credit Union Exec. We're very proud of the work that's been done, proud of Alex, and then you also referenced our website. Really, really excited about how all that turned out. So thank you.
Now, one of my favorite brands out there in the credit union marketplace. But before we talk about that and the program, for people that may not know you, Chuck, tell us a little bit about you and your career up to this point.
Yeah, I've been in the credit union space since 1988. I started at Virginia Credit Union in Richmond, Virginia, which is a credit union that works with state and local government employees in Virginia. And then after about 9.5 years, I went to PSCU and worked for PSCU right down the street, Jason, from where you are in St. Petersburg, Florida, for 16 years. And I got a great opportunity to join the CUES team on January 2nd, 2013. So I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary with CUES.
Really good.
Yeah. And I also wanted to ask, I noticed that you are the third in the list. And because we talk about generational stuff, I really have to start out with that first. And now, are you the third in that it's, did it bypass by any chance and go from 1 to 2 where the second was from the grandfather and not from the dad, or are you in a clear lineage from generation to generation for your third?
Yeah, good question. I'm the one breaking the string. My grandfather was, you know, senior, and they called him Charles, and my dad is 74, still working a couple days a week. He's the second. My grandmother was very specific about he's not junior, he's the second.
Yeah.
And my wife and I had 2 daughters. My dad's Charlie and I'm Chuck, and had we had a son, it was going to be Chase, and he would have been the fourth. But I have a 24-year-old daughter and a 19-year-old daughter, so we'll see if it revives ever.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting how that goes about as far as like the junior or the second, because I am a second, but only because for the same reason. My mom did not want me to be junior. She wanted me to be the second. Now, I didn't produce – I have a son, but my wife absolutely refused to make him a third. So how that works. But, you know, but realistically, why this is important from a generational perspective, I mean, you're talking about raising generational folks in the credit union movement in a sense that you're creating those opportunities through the CUES Next Top Credit Union Executive. Actually, what you're doing is you're preparing for that next group of generation who's coming up into leadership. And it is really a fantastic program that provides people with a lot of opportunity. These young individuals get this leadership. So I've kind of said in my 11-second elevator speech why it might be important. Why don't you help tell the rest of the folks who are listening, why do you think this is an excellent, why do you think this is an important program?
Yeah, it, you know, when I was approached for joining the CUES team, I did quite a bit of research. Just payments was what I knew. And to think of myself in a talent development organization was a stretch when I was first reached out to. And one of the stats that jumped out at me was Hilton and Associates had done a study, and the study revealed that in credit unions 100 million and above, between the years, and this is a U.S.-based study, between 2012 and 2017, there would be 6,100 C-suite job turnovers in U.S. credit unions, 100 million and above. And to think about the pent-up retirements, the people leaving the industry, if somebody grows into one of those vacant CEO roles, then you got to fill behind them. And it really got me interested from the sense that with that much turnover and consolidation and even some new positions being created at those senior levels, that we really do have an important task of making sure that the future talent in the industry is ready to fill some of those positions.
Yeah, and you guys have done a great job with it, too. We had Amanda Brenneman on last year, and she won. People want to find out more about it, they can go out. You can just Google Q's Next Top Sea of Exec. You can see how many people participated, all the stuff that the young people had to do. Absolutely one of my favorite generational programs in the credit union marketplace. And, of course, you're preparing them for working in the marketplace. And so as we're closing in on Thanksgiving next week and getting towards the end of 2014, I know you travel a lot. I know you talk to a lot of people. I wanted to ask you your assessment. What do you make of the year that was 2014 in the credit union marketplace?
You know, I get a chance, as you mentioned, to be all over the place. I was in. I actually saw Amanda last week out in Tucson at a filing meeting, and she just raves at the confidence that she got out of being involved in the program and the new responsibilities she's been able to take on. And as I've gone around the country, credit unions are, to our music earlier with Tom Sawyer and Rush, I mean, they're rocking and rolling. most credit unions that I talk to, their results are record performance, lending's up, membership growth continues. You know, there's still the cloud of the regulatory aspect that they're having to deal with, but seeing a lot of core conversions, a lot of credit unions positioning themselves for the future. So really, really high marks, I think, for the industry. And we're seeing, from a Q's perspective, a huge interest in investing in talent. We launched an innovation institute at MIT this past fall that sold out. We've started a blended learning program where we're providing Ivy League education at your own desk through video meetings. And we have professors that are teaching a couple-month class, providing coaching for these young professionals. So, you know, really well-rounded effort from credit unions, from my perspective, throughout 2014, and expect more of the same in 15.
Yeah, I think that's a really good rating and assessment of the market. I'm glad to hear you giving them such high marks. And speaking of high marks, I have to definitely give a shout out to my buddy Karen Sand, that I'm sure that you know pretty well.
Just an outstanding Q'ser. Internally, we refer to ourselves as Q'sers, and Karen's one of our lead Q'sers.
Oh my gosh, yes! I met Karen years ago, and so we're Facebook buds, and just love her to death, and love following her particular story. So you get a high mark from me simply because Karen's still with you. So I just want to let you know.
Well, I am very fortunate to be surrounded by 43 like Karen people. We are nice. Really fortunate to have a great team at Q's. Interesting, we had a video. We use a lot of video for our meetings, and we had a call yesterday, and it's pretty daggone cold in Wisconsin right now. And Karen was sitting in the boardroom in a chair with a blanket all the way up to her neck, wrapped around the entire chair.
Yes, I can imagine that. It was probably pink in color too.
Yeah, probably.
Well, all right, so now let's transition a little bit. Now, you rated the credit unions for 2014 as to how their performance is. What do you expect to be some of the goals for Q's in 2015 that folks could look to? Is there anything that you are thinking about changing? So if you talk about the goal, like, would it be a new emphasis, or is it just going to be some continuation of the same but just, you know, keep working at it? Where are you for 2015?
Yeah, a couple different fronts. We're putting an emphasis on directors. You know, that same, I don't know whether you want to go so far as to call it a crisis, but the same issue that we're working towards in terms of the future leaders of the credit union industry, the board of directors seats are, you know, in many credit unions aging, and there's going to be considerable turnover in the coming 3 to 5 years, and we're putting a lot of emphasis on getting a top-notch board education program done. And I think that, in some ways, eases that regulatory burden that, you know, if a credit union is viewed as having a solid governance and it has a nice clean break to what management's roles are, then, you know, the credit union's really set up with assets at the future leader segment, the C-suite segment, and the director segment. So big there. We'll continue to dig deeper into the credit union. I mentioned our blended learning program. A lot of credit unions, they don't have excess capacity of resources. They manage pretty thin, and to have a key resource leave the office and travel, then spend a couple days in a class, travel back, losing a week is significant. So we want to bring the same level of education to the desktop. So we're working very hard. Cornell University is our first partner with that, so we're offering two classes already. So looking at ways to bring the education to credit unions as opposed to, always having to travel for stuff is a focus for us in 2015 as well.
Yeah, and I think definitely the web-based program, one of the things as the research on that aspect of really evaluating web-based or classroom training, the data is basically telling us that you can still get the same quality of education through a web-based as you could through the traditional face-to-face, that we're seeing that from a training effectiveness when it's scored along multiple studies across the populations is that it is still resonating that there is that. So you're not necessarily going to diminish the amount of education that will be or the effectiveness of that education. You're actually just making it more accessible and more available to folks. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and the other side benefit is we're encouraging the universities to create project work to where, that networking component that you do get in a face-to-face environment, that we also try and enable that in an online virtual environment as well, that you get to meet peers and work on stuff together. So very, very important aspect to that as well.
Yeah,
well,
and
I'll
the other thing
what,
I just want to give a Jason, before you step in, I just want to give a little plug here on this because you're a man who can make a difference. And with the work that I do with smaller credit unions throughout the state here of South Carolina, North Carolina, I would definitely tell you that board education is an important aspect. I'm really happy to see that you have that on your goals for 2015. I'll just make this plug. You probably already know this, but many of those credit unions cannot afford to send the board to get the kind of education and the level of education they need. So anything you can do to drive that price down for them to make it accessible would be so helpful because it is, just part of the landscape. They are pressed for resources. They don't have the monies to spend. The regulatory issues that we are faced with from an industry is ridiculous. And so all of our money is going to protecting regulation and all those issues and not towards education. And I think we're making a serious mistake, but it's the nature of the way it's going.
Yeah, glad to hear you say that. And that same online program, we're working to bring that to a director's desktop, and we've got a huge suite of informational sets, webinars, and stuff that are available through our website. So, yeah, you couldn't be more accurate, and we want to do all that we can to support that transition because credit unions are going to need that younger segment. I mean, everybody's after that millennial consumer, so we're going to have to figure out a way to make that important in the boardroom as well.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, Chuck, there's a few credit union brands out there that I just think have universal appeal and a tremendous reputation. The Co-op is one of them. Q's is certainly in that conversation. I had the opportunity to go to one of your events back in Steamboat Springs back in 2008. I remember it very well because it was the first time I ever heard about this site called LinkedIn. Someone first told me about LinkedIn at that event way back in 2008. Have enjoyed following the Next Top CU Exec competition. Troy and I wish you tremendous success in 2015, and thank you for all the work that you've already done. But before we let you get out of here, speaking of rocking and rolling, when Chuck Fagan is waking up or driving to work or working out, what kind of music do you like?
Big U2 fan.
Big, okay, I am.
All right.
That's my second favorite band, actually, U2. It kind of goes between U2 and Dave Matthews Band. U2, absolutely one of mine. In fact, I bought an album, a vinyl 33, the other day at the bookstore for U2. And I actually had a picture of U2 in my high school locker way back before computers and social media and stuff like that. So
they have lockers. They had lockers back then for you?
Yes, they did have lockers back then.
Oh, okay.
We did not have slates and things like that in the one-room schoolhouse, so we did have a locker.
I know. Well, I figured the abacus was your first introduction to a computer. So.
Well,
hey,
make
Chuck,
sure you get their new. Yeah, make sure you get the new stuff that just came out, the acoustical versions of some of the new album, and really, really good stuff.
Hey, listen, folks, we're going to go into bonus time because we definitely want to spend some time with Alex. But, Chuck, thank you so very, very much for taking some time out of your day, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck.
You guys take care. Thank you.
All right, you take care.
Okay.
Chuck, thank you.
So,
right,
Jason, you know, when we come back, when we come back.
Yes.
Man. Oh, no, that's okay. We're good. Keep going.
Jason or Troy?
Tough question. Well, you can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need love. And as we've done for every other winner of the next Top Seed Exec, we got to roll the queen, right? Champion. His name is Alex Cassidy from Tegas Credit Union, Canada. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you
doing? Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about you and your career with credit unions up to this point.
Well, I took a slightly different path, I think, than the average person in the credit union industry. I was an electrician for almost six years. Because I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I was all finished high school, but I just found I wasn't very passionate about being an electrician. So I went back to university in 2008 and ended up getting a degree in human resources and general business. But while I was there, I had a coworker now and a student at the university spoke in our class about credit unions. And I knew I had to be a part of one either as an employee or as a member. And so I ended up being both. So I've been at the credit union now for almost 3 years, or just over 3 years, rather.
So you have you have two very interesting facts that have caught my attention. First of all, you're called an engagement and communications manager.
Yes.
Love that.
I
did too.
I have a whole series I have a model on this whole concept of engagement and how it actually, the cycles it goes through that in order to get engagement, what has to happen. So I really love that. We can talk about that later another time. But the other thing that's most important about you were stuffed in a trunk. I mean, I just find that to be, like, that was fascinating. It was sort of like, I don't really care about the rest of the competition stuff. I just want to know about you stuffed in the trunk.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the neat things about our credit union and about the people, not just me, but everyone here, is sometimes we just go, well, you know what, we got an idea. Let's do this and let's try it out. And that just happened to be a little something we were going to use at our AGM, and I ended up using it for this competition, was just to show that, you know, we did an RCMP Appreciation Day, which is our police, if you didn't know. And so we got them involved in just a little kind of comedy skit sort of thing. And we were going to show that. And it's just try to get people kind of laughing and excited about where they work, that we're not the average financial institution. We're definitely a little bit different.
Well, you have to know how funny that is. I mean, imagine, like, so I'm thinking to myself, okay, so here's the room full of people, everyone, and someone, because I always wonder, like, how do, like, what if people say to pitch an idea that you then either see happens that doesn't really look as good as I'm sure the pitch, or in something like this, and I can hear him now going, like, okay, what's a great idea? Okay, we're going to stuff somebody in a trunk. It's going to be, oh, Alex!
Yeah, I'm that guy. That's me.
Let's let the engagement and communications guy get stuff this drunk. This would be great. Let's see how engaged he is.
It's a fancy title for a jester is essentially what it is.
I'll tell you this much, Alex. There's a lot of people in the credit union marketplace that want to stuff Troy and me in a trunk and never let us out. But
awesome. At least you're not in the back of the car, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so go ahead and tell us, though, about the stuff in the trunk and how that worked into the competition. So that way you can tell us a little bit more about the competition. I don't want to cheat you out of the competition time.
Oh, hey, that's all good. So basically my presentation was about how engagement is a strategy that we use to try and differentiate ourselves in a very competitive market. And so that was an example of internal staff engagement. We didn't want to be, other than me showing it at this particular event, it's not something I'd want to put onto YouTube because it features the RCMP and they tend to want to take themselves fairly seriously, although they are known to have some fun. So this was more showing the audience an example of engagement from an internal perspective, things we might do internally to try and get each other, you know, motivated and kind of laughing and having a good time.
Well, when they actually say, tie me up to a chair, please run from the room, okay?
Yes, will do. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, no problem. Or let me suspend you in a bodysuit in water and then you get to escape. Okay.
Yeah,
I would be leaving the room when those ideas start coming out.
Yeah, I'd like to survive, actually, in my credit union career, for sure.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, RCMP is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. There may be some people that don't know that. I got to ask you, Alex, in the past, had you ever followed the next top CU exec competition? Had you been in the competition before? Tell us about that.
So I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I hadn't really heard much about it. I remember it came up in an email a couple of years ago, and I kind of looked at it and went, oh, that's pretty cool that somebody did that because a Canadian had one. But if I can be honest, when I was nominated, I actually called the person who nominated me to find out if she meant to. And because I thought the email might be spam, right? So I went, are you sure that you meant to do this? And she said, yes, I'm sure. I said, okay, I'll go for it. And I wasn't even 100% positive I should be participating in this because I didn't know if I was at a level that I should be participating. And thank goodness I did. It all worked out in the end, and it helped me learn a lot about myself. It was obviously a very incredible learning experience, and got to learn a lot about myself, but other credit unions around not just Canada, but the States as well. And it's pretty neat to see that we're not that much different here in Canada than in the States, other than some regulatory things. But in terms of our culture, it seems very similar. So I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah. So as a young professional, if you could just put yourself now on the outside for a moment and look in, what are some of the things that you believe that the credit union industry and the credit union movement or the credit union network, whatever term you want to use, what do you think are some of the things that they're doing right?
Yeah. If I can be fairly bold, I think credit unions are doing a lot right. I mean, in terms of just the level of service we provide, the involvement in our community, the way that we distribute our profits, I think it's an incredible model. And so there's not a lot I can say. I actually looked at the question that you sent me today, and then I was looking at it, and I went, I don't know what we're really doing wrong. We're doing a lot of things right. But I think the issue is, if I can go a little bit further, is that we're not really doing the best, at least where I work, we're not doing the best job of necessarily communicating what we do right, at least not to generations that are coming up. And we really need to do that. We need to tell people why credit unions should matter to them and why they should care and why they should take that time to make the switch. And the funny thing is, though, if I sit down with somebody and I can have a conversation, we can talk it out, they get it. I mean, everyone gets it. There's very few people who kind of go, you know what, I don't really think I want to go to a credit union. It's very rare that someone would say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're on the trend of other sectors right now. People want to kind of buy organic and local, and that's what we are. We're local banking. And I think this is what makes us different and something we can focus on.
I totally agree with you.
And I want to ask you something else. I'm sorry, Jason, just to do that. But I wanted to ask you about the sophistication, because you talked about telling the story and having people, and you talk to them and they don't see any reason. Do folks consider credit unions in Canada? Do you see a difference between the way they may be approached in the United States versus Canada in the aspect of, well, you know, there are so many small credit unions in the United States, they're not really that sophisticated. Do you have those same sorts of issues and concerns in Canada in regards to that? Or is the field really very narrow because you only have much larger credit unions in that market space?
Well, I think sophistication is an issue, certainly a challenge, and that's probably the biggest barrier when I talk to somebody is they want to be able to go across Canada and walk into a branch of their bank or credit union and do business, and they can't necessarily do that to the same level of that you could with a bank. And that's a huge challenge that I think in Canada anyways, we're starting to work through those issues. I think we have to. So that's certainly an issue for us as well.
Yeah.
Got
Let
it.
Me say, folks, if you're listening live to the program, you're going to lose the feed at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go into bonus time with Alex, but you can hear the entire interview in the archive. That same link will work live or later. I had to ask you, Alex, a question that we've asked every winner that we've had on the show, and it's my favorite question in this program. If you were made president of a credit union tomorrow, not necessarily yours, but any credit union, what would be your first order of business?
Absolutely. I thought long and hard about this. And so I think I'm going to suck up a little bit to our current CEO, David Bird, but he did the right thing, I believe, when he joined us. He made a trip to every branch and met with every single staff member, at least as many as he could during his time there when he first started. And I know that's a tall order looking at a larger credit union, but I think it's really important to be able to take kind of a tally of your staff and have these informal conversations because, well, first of all, I think people need to know that you're approachable, but you can learn a lot just by going out there and having conversations, not necessarily these formal kind of meetings, but just having conversations with people. And it also helps you as a new leader to kind of get people on your side. So he did the right thing, I believe, and I would emulate that myself.
Really cool.
Now, and you know, before we close up, you know, we've already discussed, okay, you being stuffed in a tank. We already got the engagement and communications piece, and you know, we talked about that, but okay, so now we have to go on to a lighter side of the Alex and find out what type of music or TV, you know, what sort of hobbies, what sort of engages you, what would that be like?
All right, yeah, I love the TV shows The Office and Big Bang Theory, huge into comedy. I love hockey, that's a big surprise, I'm sure. In terms of, I started soccer last year. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of me. I'm a lanky guy. I started playing soccer. I'm not the best at it, but I'm trying my hardest. It's pretty enjoyable. It gets me out, and that's actually an Integris team. We have a team that we entered in. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I've seen your Vimeo, so I've seen you in that program. And, yes, and they had to wrap you, I think, three times to get you into the – hopefully it was a big trunk that they put you in.
That's right. Three times is an understatement.
Yeah,
and as I was talking to you about before, Jason, I'm a big fan of Dave Matthews Band, huge fan.
Yeah, no, well we've had
okay,
all,
there's
we've
two
had a
Dave Matthews.
Of,
now we've had two Dave
yeah,
Matthews.
Had,
you know that
we had Tansley Stearns on, and she
yeah,
was,
yeah.
And I am too. Well, we played a Dave Matthews bump last week on the show just for Tansley. So,
and do you think Dave? Do you think he's controversial? Do you think the band's controversial?
Yeah.
No, not particularly.
When Tansley came on, she was like, I know it's controversial, but I love the Dave Matthews Band. And we were like, there's controversial about great music.
There was an incident a while back about their tour bus dumping some waste or something. But,
yeah,
but you know
but
what?
I mean,
whatever. That's whatever. Not him dumping it there.
Yeah. we don't actually expect all of our rock bands to be on their best behavior all the time. That's why they're rock bands. After
yeah, exactly.
All, you should see the stuff that Troy and I do when we go on the road. That's nothing.
Absolutely, yeah. You should see that bus that we're riding in.
Jeez,
we
do all kinds of terrible stuff. You know, Chuck talked about being accusers. I mean, Troy and I have accusers everywhere we go.
We are accusers. Yes.
You've got a big button there with that little drum beat there, hey?
Hey, listen, Alex.
And the studio audience didn't show up today, so thank goodness the drummer did.
Yeah, the
exactly.
Studio audience is here. Hey, listen, Alex, thank you for staying a little long. I know we told you to 9 to 9:30 your time, but the show has the flexibility of going a little long. I knew I should have set it up for 45 minutes. Right before we say goodbye to you, if folks want to get a hold of you, how do they find you? Phone, email, social media, that kind of thing.
The two best places to find me are LinkedIn, and then I'm going to plug our own Integris page because I run our social media as the Integris Facebook page as well. You can learn a lot about how we do things up here and some of the different things we do. I would encourage you to like Integris' Facebook page and join me on LinkedIn.
Very, very cool. Hey, listen, on behalf of Troy and myself and everybody here at the show, you heard Chuck talking about it. If you start listening to our show, you'll hear us talking about it. The compelling need to replace the retiring generation of credit union leaders with a new and young and inspired and informed and well-trained and engaged group of young people. And from everything I see, you absolutely deserve to win that competition. We thank you so very, very much for joining us and wish you the best of luck in your professional endeavors. Thank you so very, very kindly.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Alice Catherine. That is right. Hey, folks, thanks for sticking on with bonus time. No show next week, Troy, because of the Thanksgiving holiday. But I got some great news yesterday. For the fifth year in a row, the president of the California-Nevada Credit Union League, Ms. Diana Dykstra, will be joining us as our last guest of the
year.
I went back and listened to her first show, which will actually be 5 years to the date, December 17th, 2010, when she first did the show. And the stuff that she talked about on that show is just as relevant today as it was then. Troy, thanks for hanging on into bonus time. You have a great, great week out there in Charleston, South Carolina. You've been listening to The Power Performance, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are?
Hotter, sizzling. We are spectacular.
Join us here. We won't be here next week, but join us the week after. Hey, Troy, you have a great, great weekend out in Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
we still wish you happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thankful for the show. Thankful for my amazing co-host. Thankful for all the great guests. We've just been having great show after great show after great show. Hey, everybody else, I'm signing off from the Talent and Organizational Development Department here at beautiful GTE Financial in downtown Tampa, Florida. And until next we speak, I'll talk to you next week.
The end of the MFO, folks.